Part weather forecast for this evening. Tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 55. Southwest wind 5 to 8 miles per hour, becoming calm after midnight. Tomorrow, cloudy through mid-morning, then gradually clearing with a high near 71. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 78. Monterey Bay Area boaters forecast for this evening. West winds tonight 5 to 10 knots. Wind waves around 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, west winds 15 to 20 knots with gusts as high as 25 knots. Wind waves will be around 2 feet or less. KSCO News Talk Time, 8:06. Time now for Wake the Bear Radio.
The opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Turn it up. Yeah.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers. All right.
Yeah.
Good night.
It's a good night. It's a good night to be waking up the bear.
It's always a good night at wakethebearradio.com and ksco.com on 1080.
Absolutely.
1080. We have fun, don't we?
Yeah, we're going to have a great show tonight, and we're probably take some callers towards the end if you want to call in at 479-1080, 479-1080. We've got Victor Reed back with us again this week. He'll be on in just a few minutes after we cover some of the recent craziness that's going on. I do think it's kind of crazy that Ron has such a crazy wardrobe going on tonight. Are you a conspiracy theorist there, Ron?
You like my Q shirt?
Your Q shirt, yeah.
I'm wearing my Q shirt today because I'm honoring President Donald Trump. Apparently, he went on a rampage of, I can't say tweets anymore, but posts.
They're truths.
Rampage of truth.
Yeah, like 60 of them, and it just drove the fake news crazy. I saw an article from Yahoo, actually, and it said, Trump woke up and went on a 60-post QAnon-fueled social media spree. That's what they said.
Excellent.
So, driving them nuts.
So it does feel like the storm is upon us, is it not?
It does. It does. Now, he wasn't quoting Q directly.
Right.
But he was quoting a lot of Anons.
People that quoted Q.
That quoted Q, right. Yeah. So and therefore. Actually, you know, if you just look down a little bit on the quotes that others were doing, you'd see a Q on there. And so it was very close. It's the most he's ever done.
What do we think Q stands for exactly, Ron? Asking questions?
Under the impression that it is acute level clearance with the Department of Energy, which is the highest clearance they have in the nation.
Okay. And I heard another interpretation that it means quantum.
Quantum. Yeah, so, you never know.
Yeah.
They don't really come out and say.
It is the 17th letter of the alphabet, and in the Bible, the number 17 is significant, actually, in dealing with the flood. And there was 17 days between the time that the bird showed up.
Oh, really?
On the flood, yeah, on the ark. So
interesting.
It's like four different uses of the number 17 in that story.
Hmm. Well, I remember Kim Clement, he did a prophecy years ago, I don't know, 2014 or something like that, where he said that the Lord told him, and it, you could see the video on it, the Lord told him, showed him all these letters.
Right.
And he says, an alphabet, A to Z, what? And the Lord said, no, I want you to focus in on Q and A. Or A and Q.
It was A and Q, yeah, A and Q.
And instead of Q and A,
he said that it was a marvelous plan, and it was in the inside of a man's mind, and it was going to take down the evil that's around.
Wow.
And
this was, goodness.
Yes. You haven't heard it?
No.
I'll give you the link.
Oh my God.
I'll put the link on the show notes, yeah. I mean, Kim Clement had some amazing...
That was one of the most bizarre, odd ones of it, because it was just like a letter and like... a number.
Well, it can't be any more bizarre than the prediction of two presidents at the same time.
Yeah,
I mean, who would prophesy that, right? It's like, that's an impossibility. And now you look and you go, I wonder if it is.
Hey, I want to just share his last truth, President Trump's last truth that he sent out today, because it was significant to me. It shifted my mindset. So he was referring to Sean Hannity's show tonight, and T-Ball, who is the he's the one that was escorted out of the FBI building. He was in charge of the Mar-a-Lago. He has been accused of political bias in handling the investigation, not of Mar-a-Lago, but of the Hunter Biden laptop computer.
Wow.
So let me tell you why I think that's significant, because, yes, he did other things. His bias included that they just didn't. That was a bigger thing. That was actually on Chris Wray and AG Merrick Garland, the Mar-a-Lago. But why he was escorted out is, yes, he was the special agent over Mar-a-Lago, but they didn't say that's why he was fired or escorted out or resigned, whatever the actual reality is. They said it was because of the mishandling of slow walking the investigation and the causes that it had on the 2020 election.
Wow.
So right now there is a stirring. You know, its eyes are a little bit less on Mar-a-Lago and more on Hunter Biden's laptop, which is significant because Chris Wray and Merrick Garland, they're beginning to get some stirs of Chris Wray should resign and even AG Garland should be impeached.
Wow.
And so in that, I mean, basically the premise for the FBI raid was Maggie Hagerman's meme that she posted on the New York Times of Trump's supposed tearing up papers and throwing them in the toilet. That was the premise. They said the FBI was concerned that Trump was destroying documents.
Wait.
And that got this whole thing going.
So a journalist who posted a meme that she created triggered the FBI to raid Mar-a-Lago.
What
we're in right now is like the Keystone Cops, man. They're just like bumping each other in the heads. It's like the Three Stooges. They're pointing out, and the cool thing is they're now starting to point at each other and blame each other, with like Mark Zuckerberg blaming the FBI for why they shut down people's posts about the Hunter Biden laptop. So this is kind of what you need is when the light comes on, all the roaches start scrambling and then blaming each other.
Yeah, and what you're referring to is on Joe Rogan earlier this week or last week, that Zuckerberg came on, and according to his story, he said that an FBI agent had contacted him or Facebook, basically. So I don't know if it was directly Zuckerberg, but it was the people at Facebook, saying that because there'd been so much Russian propaganda that affected the 2016 election, they now had news that another type of propaganda was going to come out and try to affect the 2020 election. And so when Zuckerberg said that he saw the Hunter Biden laptop stories, he interpreted that as the propaganda story that he needed to censor because it was misinformation.
Wow.
So he basically admitted he was censoring.
He was censoring.
Oh yeah, but it was from the FBI.
Oh, so the FBI's fault. I was just doing what the FBI told me to do.
I mean, I didn't even know they went to people like that and said, "Would you censor on our behalf and be vigilant on our behalf?"
That is not the American way at all. Well, and then of course, was it this week that Resident Biden said, accidentally, "Never let another election be stolen." Did you see that video?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
We're going to never, ever again let another election be stolen, which he admitted that an election had been stolen. And it was like, don't get that guy off the air. Get him off the stage. Don't let him talk.
The hook comes and pulls him off the stage.
Well, hey, we have our guest calling in. Is that right?
Yeah, I think Victor is on.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Let me patch him through. Hey, Victor, are you there?
Hey, finally made it through.
Hey, awesome. Hey, good to have you.
Welcome, Victor. We're so excited to have you back on the show tonight on Wake the Bear Radio. Victor, I am so pumped. I actually watched your watched a video clip of a friend of yours, perhaps, sharing at a church about how to fight for rights, and it made me think of this phrase: "With the shekels come the shackles."
That's true. That's so true.
We've been given over the last 100 years. Americans have been given over rights, our rights for privileges and little perks and benefits, and then sometimes even in the small print, there's the prison in the small print that you don't even know about. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, even the word incentivize has some dubious connotations to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. There are just about everything you do these days related to government has some sort of gotcha in it.
Yep, always does. So we're going to do some rapid-fire questions tonight, and we'll keep that going pretty quick. The first one we wanted to start off with was just, can you give us some examples, as many examples that come to your mind, about how people trade in their privileges for rights? I'm sorry, rights for privileges.
Hold on just a second. Yeah. Because I'm the one that was concerned that he isn't being hosted properly. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about who Victor is?
Yes.
So they understand why this conversation is so important and why we should be listening to what he's saying.
Yes.
Go for it.
So, Victor, would you just give maybe a 1-minute bio of who you are and what you've been up to the last few years?
Began over 25 years ago, just research laws. I was I brought some coincidences together all at once, which prompted me to do some research. And at the time, of course, the internet was fledgling, and there were less than 1,000 sites on the web, and so there was no research that could really be done there. And so I went to the law library and I began researching, and it was a hobby, and it's been a hobby ever since then until 2015, when God called me to begin helping people. And then in 2017, I did my first seminar. And then, of course, in 2020, when the pandemic hit, that was just a crazy beginning of trying to help people understand the legal maze that's been set up that's entrapped just about everyone. And so I'm trying to wake people up and trying to equip them to resist tyranny using the law.
So you really help people understand about constitutional infringements and when things, lines are being crossed, and the processes to reestablish rights for the individual. Is that right?
Yeah, to keep your rights and to establish your rights, yes.
Okay, so with that as the context, Ron, would you ask that question again?
Okay, see, Victor and I go back away, so I know him already, so I overlook those things. It's like, I know all about you. But so the question I have is, can you name as many that come to your mind of ways that people are inadvertently trading their rights for privileges, perhaps through contracts, but what would be a handful of examples?
Driver license, car registration, marriage license, professional licenses like medical doctor, insurance salesman, contractor, business licenses, designating your business as an employer, employer contracts, building permits, Obamacare, the stimulus checks. That another round that's due to land in people's bank accounts this Friday.
Mm. Oh, wow. Hmm. So basically everybody that's listening has probably been tagged on that list
enslaved, enslaved without their knowledge.
So right. give us an example of, say, like a marriage certificate. What would that do to you besides having a piece of paper? I mean, what are the rights lost or the bad things that happen?
Yeah, I mean, aren't those all good things? Aren't those all good good examples of things in our society?
You know, that's the argument, and that's how these things get started.
Right.
Is, you know, like, you know, the marriage license, that, you know, that kind of started out as, oh, well, you know, we want to make sure people are healthy. We want to make sure we're not having interracial marriage and wow. you know, things like that.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's how it came out. I did research. I got rid of my marriage license certificate, not my marriage, but with the state, my marriage with the state. And that's was interracial.
What's really interesting is that the term common law marriage, which is probably with a pastor, but not with the county or the state, mm-hmm. It's always had a negative connotation, common law. You know, it's like, oh, you're shacking up with your girlfriend after 7 years, you're officially married. But I wonder if that's common law marriage is, if you have an officiate at and you get married in the eyes of God, like they would at the back in the prairie, mm-hmm. But you're not registered with the county clerk in the records department, if that would be considered common law.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that everything that's good, you can see it now. Now, again, you know, this pandemic has opened people's eyes that all that's good has been turned into, you know, it's got a slur attached to it. And so, you know, like people that have a common law marriage, the state isn't involved. It's just the husband, the wife, and God. So you have the way it's intended to be. God is the creator of marriage, and so he is the ultimate authority. But when you get a marriage license, now you're bringing the state in and you're making the state the authority. And as I would say, most people, if they just followed the news a little bit over the past 15 years, they see what the state does to people that have marriage licenses. They come in and take their kids. When the kids don't, you know, they're being taught principles and values that are opposed to the state's values. You know, like you're not teaching, you're teaching your kid, you know, you got to ask me if you want to go and get involved with sexually involved, right? Or you know, abortion or LGBTQ and all that stuff. All that stuff now is what the state is pushing. And so when you bring the state in to your marriage, you're giving the state authority and stripping God of that authority. Wow. You're saying, I want the state to be my authority. And so now the state can come in, and if you're not obeying their dictates, they can take your kids away.
So we've learned too that that our rights don't come from the government, they come from God. We talked about that last week. So this is how you transfer a right to a privilege?
Correct.
You give it away.
You surrender. The only way, yeah, that's the only way that you can get rid of your rights. They can't be taken from you because they weren't given to you by the state or anybody else. They were given to you by God. And they were given to you by God to serve God. And so the only way you can do it is you can say, you know, just like the Israelites did, you know, they said, hey, we don't want God as our king anymore. Give us a king. Mm. And so God warned them, and they said, no, we still want a king anyway. Well, that's what you're doing. When you take something from the state, and, you know, they make these benefits juicy, and after it's been practiced, and people are taking these benefits, and decade upon decade, the bureaucrats get used to, they get into just a robot mode. Okay, this is how we grant these things. And nobody's thinking, nobody knows the actual law, that it's not a requirement. It's an elective choice. Well, when you remove that consciousness that it's an elective choice from the bureaucrats and from the public, then everybody thinks, oh, for example, if I want to get married, I have to get a marriage license. Mm. And it just becomes a normal practice that really is a violation of God's laws.
So you're cutting. So basically, the state has cut out, has created themselves to be a middleman, which is a lot of in some of the even the Catholic religion. You got to go through a priest to get to God, or intermediary, when the Bible's real clear that you go to, there's one man between us. It's the man Christ Jesus. There's no mediator between God and man, but the man Christ Jesus. So it's kind of the same thing. The state is coming in and becoming Lord. They're seizing dominion and Lord and becoming, we're going to distribute your rights based on our dictates, not, and they've completely flipped it. Rather than the government of the people, by the people, for the people, self-rule under God, they put themselves as a middleman.
Right. And unfortunately, I would say they're not even the middleman, because they're not ultimately leading you to God. They're leading you just the opposite direction.
Tyranny.
A derailer.
Yeah.
So many people probably have made this mistake of giving up their rights in marriage to a privilege. For those people that have done that, which is probably almost everyone married, what do you offer? It looks like you offer maybe a package of training to reverse that. Tell us a little bit about that, if you do.
Yeah, so what you would have to go through and get an annulment or a divorce in the state's eye. And so both the husband and wife need to really have a solid understanding with each other that, no, in God's eyes, we're not divorcing. Our marriage is permanent. Nothing's going to change. But in the eyes of the state, it is. And so you would go through and you would get that divorce. And then you would have your separate contract, which is what you would do. You basically get remarried, and you wouldn't have to, we wouldn't have to go through, a pass or anything like that, but you would have a contract. And that simple marriage contract would be the thing that, if you want to have it, something in writing, and, anyone ever challenges you that whether you're married or not, and they want something in writing, they don't want to... They want to look at your life, that's what another thing that things have boiled down to these days is, show me a piece of paper. I don't want to look at your life to see who you are. For example, I've been going through this thing lately where a financial institution wants two pieces of government ID. Well, I have an affidavit, which is a legal testimony, that has my parents' signature on it. I brought my parents to a notary, and the notary made them raise their right hand and swear that, yes, this is me. and I have all kinds of details on there about who I am, where I was born, and all this, more than you'll ever see on a government-issued ID. So if you want any kind of identification, that is the thing, a testimony of the person's parents, and facts that, nobody else knows. But they wouldn't accept that. They want something that you fill out a piece of paper, you send it in to the state capitol, and some bureaucrat who's never met you sends this document back that says, okay, this is the person that filled this out. It's absolutely ridiculous. So back to the thing, if you want to have some kind of a documentation instead of talking to witnesses who say, oh, yeah, these people are happily married. They've been married for 20 years and all that kind of stuff. Then you can have a contract that you get that marriage. Yeah.
Now, could you do it in a way like, for instance, years ago, I did my license. And when I had to sign for my license, I actually put UCC 1-207, which has been changed to UCC-308, which was, I'm signing this under threat, duress, or coercion, and I'm trying to retain my rights without prejudice. Is that something you could do with the marriage license, or even back to the car, or does that work? I know there were a lot of theories out there, and I don't know if that one was one that held water or not.
It's UCC 1-308, and just for the listeners, I'll just read real quickly what that says. A party that with explicit reservation of rights performs or promises performance or assents to performance in a manner demanded or offered by the other party does not thereby prejudice the rights reserved. And you could write UCC 1-308 or without prejudice or under protest, something like that. And that is, like the section of the law says, it's when you think there could be I could be giving up a right here, usually in exchange for a privilege, but I'm not having everything disclosed. I suspect that there's something, or you just want to protect yourself, that maybe there's something that's not being disclosed, where you can withdraw your signature because you've already given notice to the person who's offering the contract. When you go to get a marriage license, you're willingly going in there and you're getting it. It's not like someone is forcing a contract upon you, like, you know, when you're stopped on the side of the road and they say, you know, either sign this or I'm taking you to jail. That's a forced contract where you've got to respond. When you go and get a marriage license, you're the one that's taking your initiative to go and get it. And so that kind of an argument would be a little bit difficult to make because you know,
okay,
ignorance of the law is no excuse. It's presumed that you did your study on the marriage license and everything that it's involved before you went and got it.
Yeah, that
you
makes sense.
The initiative to go get it. Yeah. Now, when it comes to other things, like I said, like being stopped at the side of the road, you know, when I used to have a license, I had it written on my license, and then I would also put it on the signature line of the citation when I got that. Does that work explicitly? I don't know, because whenever I make a challenge, I don't just do the challenge based on UCC 1-308. I make at least five challenges. I have five grounds for challenging a legal matter where they've, you know, tried to contract me into their jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of them. And so I can't say, oh, yeah, that works, because you know, no bureaucrat who's dismissed the case, whether it's an admiralty judge or a DA or whoever, has ever come back and said, oh, yeah, I'm dismissing this because of this particular ground. They just give some lame excuse and dismiss it.
Yeah, it seems like they're not always fair. I got pulled over. Actually, my wife got pulled over. I was in the passenger seat without a seatbelt. And he asked for my license. I said, I'm not showing you my license. I'm a passenger. What do I need to? He goes, fine, I'll write up the driver there. And I said, okay. I mean, don't want my wife mad at me. This was years ago. And so I wound up going to court to fight that. And, you know, I went off of the whole structure of the court. I said, you know, it's the people versus Ron Powers. And I said, where's the representative of the people? You know, this officer does not represent the people. And then the judge, you know, there was a separation of powers that they were violating, because the judge kind of represented the people, and then the judge and the officer. I don't even know if the officer was there, but you know, I pointed my finger at her when I said that. I probably shouldn't have. I said, "You're violating California," you know, and I rambled it off. And she goes,
"That's
this is my courthouse."
A diplomatic start.
She just shut me down, and I'm just like, ah. So I think your approach is good. You've got many grounds, more than one bullet in your, you know, in your arsenal there, and then you tend to do things more with paperwork, so it's in writing, it's not verbal, that it could be, you know, shoved under the carpet, like, I never said that, you know, that sort of thing. Is that, that's what it sounds like you do? You set your people that take your training, they learn how to do it with paperwork and filing and things like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's all by filing legal paperwork.
Okay. So that holds more weight, right? I mean, you find that definitely has a bigger punch because they don't want to commit to something in writing as much, right?
Right. Yeah. They see that they could get entangled in something that might go to a federal civil rights lawsuit. So they will dismiss it in a way that they're not even explaining why they're dismissing it. Usually, the excuse is illegible, but the paper gets the job done.
So this is one of the major steps then to breaking off these entanglements that we have gotten ourselves into. You kind of teach people how to do that.
Yes, I do. There are so many entanglements, and like you said at the beginning, most people are involved in many of them. And so it takes some strategic planning in order to get rid of these things. usually you have to set yourself up with an appropriate replacement for what it is you want to do. And then you go through the process, typically outlined by a particular agency. You know, if you want to return your driver license, for example, and you can go to the DMV and you can get a form and fill out the form and go through that whole process. And then you follow up and you try and get it, because they don't like to respond and give a confirmation that this has been done. And so you need to follow up and make sure that you get someone confirming that this thing has been returned and your signature has been revoked. And then you could also go through and file some additional paperwork.
So let's move it, shift it a little bit back to the kind of the grand story. The grand story here is that in 1871, the United States became a corporation. And then many, many laws were passed, even the income law, the IRS was established. All these laws were in organizations that were established to extract funds from us and that are unconstitutional. So, you know, how do most people place themselves under the jurisdiction of the IRS, under the corporation, and how does someone get out of that corporation, out of that contractual agreement that is against the law of God?
Well, it's common practice for people to get roped into it these days, and you can do it by filling out a W-2 or a W-9 or a 1040, any tax forms. You're basically volunteering, and when you become an employer or an employee, right, so you have a business that this goes into a bigger question. Most businesses are corporations. Mm-hmm. These days, they are state created entities, even though you want to start a business. So you go to an attorney and you say, I want to start a corporation, and he draws up the paperwork and then you sign it and then you file it with the Secretary of State. That's a statutory entity, and it's been created by the state. And Hale versus Hinkle, to 1906, U.S. Supreme Court case, says that the creation is the owner of the creator is the owner of the creation, and that the state is the creator of the corporation. So when a company does that, now the company becomes liable to participate in the income tax scam. And then, they're given all these directives. Okay, you have to have you have to become an employer, and you have to have your employees. You can take people on as employees, and then you have them fill out these forms that rope them into the system. Hmm. So the ways to do that, if you're on the worker side of things and you want to work for somebody and not participate in the income tax, you need to find a company that is not a corporation, that it's not a partnership, it's not an LLC, it's not a statutory entity, it's a different kind of an entity. And in that way, they don't have an obligation, unless, again, if they've gone and gotten licenses for various other things. Right. So individuals, companies, churches, everybody's been conned by their attorneys into participating in this stuff. This is the only way it can be done. This is, you have no other choice. And so you have to have the company be wise, the people who start the company, and create the company themselves without participation of the state. And then once you found that company, now you make sure that you're not stepping into anything, signing any paperwork that is going to rope you into participating with the government.
So it's basically like a common law company, something that you just don't register with the county or the state?
Right. You use your God-given rights to contract. Mm-hmm.
So you just make an agreement with, and you make your, you just announce it, or so, somehow, I don't even know if you'd want to get it notarized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be like lemonade stand.
Well, you have your own contract. It's an agreement that you make. You put it in writing. You uphold each other to it. That's how it's done, without having to have to involve the state into it. That's the key.
Right.
Yeah, you had said, I listened to a podcast that you were, it was really very interesting how we got this way. And you used three words that you described, how we stay in the state of giving our rights away to become privileges. You said it's partly fear and partly ignorance and partly apathy. And you were actually talking about following mandates and closures, business closures, church closures. I think the conversation was about that. But even in the bigger scheme, that there are those three things. I mean, we don't know what we don't know. Most of us don't know that we've given away our privileges. So it's very exciting to know that there are ways to get them back. And it sounds like it's time for more than one or two to step up as pioneers, but we all need to begin to work towards a freedom from these constitutional infringements.
Yeah, we got a caller calling in real quick, but I wanted to ask you a question. So, like, I just came to the conclusion today, watching another podcast, that the term bar means the British Accreditation Registry. We inherited that from the British, who mastered tyranny, right? And so
they have an empire.
So the whole legal system is actually created for you to basically conscript yourself under the authority of the state, rather than be conscripted under the authority of God. And the Constitution itself is designed to protect our rights from the one who tries to create tyranny over us. So
correct.
And so it just blew my mind when I just kind of put those two things together. It was a video that you had done, and then also a video by another young patriot. And I was just blew my mind. It was like, wow.
Yep. There's a lot of entanglements. Hey, I'm going to put on a caller, and his name is Mike from Santa Cruz. Mike, you're on the air. You got a question for our guest?
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, I just wanted to check in on... well, right now at this point in history, you know, there's a lot of stirring about people with progressive agendas wanting to call for a constitutional convention. Underlining motive actually to get rid of the current constitution as it stands and be able to butcher it up and carve it up for a new American century, a progressive agenda that involves all kinds of new ideas. So I'm wondering, at this point in history, as we look at the Constitution, if we really need to re-familiarize ourselves with the constitutional civics, and be careful about operating on some other premises to preserve our rights, because it seems like as people head off in different directions trying to, stand the ground on their rights, if it's not going to be by the current covenant of the land, even though it's not being utilized a lot, the Constitution, we're going to be seen in, like, every man's seen doing what's right in his own eyes, and it kind of seems like it could be kind of dicey to undermine the foundation of, the Constitution if we understand how to actually stand on the ground of it instead of just a hollow mental assent to it without understanding the...
Yeah, and our Constitution, it's a beautiful document, isn't it? It's an amazing, God-given document. So I think that what you're talking about, Mike, is really something for a heads up. We're not talking about restructuring the Constitution. We're talking about getting out from the 1871 restructuring of the Republic.
There's a reason why Ben Franklin said it. You're getting a republic if you can keep it.
Yeah,
where it's the battle to keep it.
Hey, Mike, thanks it for calling in. I'm going to let you go. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. You want to address that there, Victor?
Well, I think you hit it on the nail. Hit the nail on the head. We want to go back to the foundations. We don't want to keep on changing, altering the original intent. That's the work of the progressives. That's what they want to do, change the meanings of words and erase the original intent. We want to go back to the original intent, read the original founding documents, and understand what was meant, what the intentions were, and then read through the Constitution in light of that knowledge. Then you know how these things really apply.
That's really good.
So you understand that. Like liberty doesn't mean the freedom to kill a baby.
Right. Well, and I want to go back to, I watched your video just recently where you talked about the most important document, really, because the Constitution is kind of general. It predicates on the Declaration of Independence, which establishes government. It's for the reasons for why our government is established is to preserve rights, right? That's what it says, that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and governments are instituted among men to protect these rights. And then, of course, you go into the Constitution as the enumeration of the way we protect, and then the Bill of Rights, how we protect the rights of people, we the people, from tyranny in our government.
That's right. That's right. The Declaration of Independence was that. Declaring that we are independent from the tyrant of England. And these are the reasons. They knew that they, according to godly principles, that they had to tell the tyrants, this is why we are separating from you. And so that's what they did. And if you don't read the Declaration of Independence, you don't have the full context of the rest of the Constitution. It is part of the Constitution. There are people who will say, no, it's separate from the Constitution, but it's like the preamble to a book.
Yep.
It's or the foreword to a book, the introduction. And you've got to know how they were thinking and the purpose and what was tried before they had to write down this declaration so that you see all of the articles and the subsections and the Bill of Rights and so forth in the proper context.
It's like it's establishing the history. It's almost like going back and watching the beginning of The Lord of the Rings and why the rings were created and how they were meant to control everybody and, like how the state of Middle Earth got the way it was. You have to kind of know the history, and that's what the Declaration of Independence does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bringing it back to today, which is what's on people's minds today, I noticed that you had a kit, a vaccine freedom defense kit. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about that in a nutshell, what it is and how people could benefit from that?
It contains some of the documents that I provide to people to fight various things. The first document it contains would be a letter to your employer that contains the legal citations that support your right to refuse, and based upon religious beliefs and health conditions and whatever else there may be in your particular case. And that letter is a custom written letter. And so what I do is I essentially will ghostwrite that for somebody, and then that person will review it and make any kind of changes that they feel need to be made, and then sign it and submit it. That's step number one. Step number two is document number two, and that's a legal notice that contains laws and citations and facts about the vaccine and so forth that bolster your objections on legal and medical grounds. Mm. And so that gives a lot more force than just a, they call it an exemption letter. I don't call them exemption letters because that infers that they have some kind of authority over your rights.
Right. You don't need an exemption to decide what to put in your body or not to put in your body.
Yes. Exactly.
I got an exemption from having to put something in my body that it's been not been tested thoroughly. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
I wrote a bunch of those for religious exemptions for people, religious waivers for people who came to me. In fact, I did more for people outside my church than I did for people inside my church. Because people in my church already knew how to write their own. So I had to, it was really beautiful. They'd come to me and ask me, I don't want to take this and I have religion. Well, tell me what you believe. And they'd confess Jesus as Lord and their beliefs. And then you believe. Okay, let's go ahead and write your letter, you know. That's cool.
Yeah.
Good opportunity. Yeah. Hey, we got another caller. So I'm going to patch in another caller. It looks like it's Stan from Soquel. Stan, you're on the air. You there, Stan?
Might have lost Stan. Stan, call us back. We got about 9 minutes left, so.
Hey, I want to, while we're waiting for Stan to call back, the U.S. Constitution, I know it's meant to guarantee our liberties and our freedom. And I'm just thinking, you know, in the day, there was very little interference with personal life.
Right.
And in this progressive environment of socialism and neocommunism, I don't even know Marxism. What to call it, Marxism, totally. It's more a domination, control, micromanagement to the littlest minuscule things. I just notice that everything seems to need to go through the authority of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be nice if we just returned to sensibility?
God and his earth and his laws and not a bunch of man's laws. We got a caller. Let's take the call.
Stan, you're back. Okay, can you hear us now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Absolutely, can loud and clear. That was my fault anyway, by the way. I apologize for that. I'll admit.
Hey, you know, all is forgiven. So anyway, thanks for taking my call. And I love your content. And here, it's almost a call for action with your guest here. But okay, here, how do we solve this? Who is the enemy? And there really is no enemy. And how do we solve this? Because we can't fight with ourselves. I mean, how do we take this on? We can't vote it out because President Trump was voted in and we had a fake vote. We can't vote our way out of this or we can't fight our way out of this. There is no enemy that we can see. We're not going to take on the FBI or the Sheriff's Department. What do we do here? I mean, it's a conundrum. So hey, anyway, I'm going to hang up. Thanks for taking my call.
That's a great point that Stan makes, and I would encourage you to go look at our notes from last week. We actually have Victor on there, and he actually brings on Sheriff Mack, who has created an entire association of sheriffs mm-hmm. to protect the rights of people. Wouldn't you say that's a really good start, Stan, to check it out there, Victor?
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's one. You know, I have the recipe on my website of some of the things we can do, and some of the things that I have been doing, and that me and many other people have joined together in doing over the past 2 years. Part of the recipe is number one. Okay, you got your three-legged stool: ignorance, apathy, and fear. That's what Satan uses. That's his throne. That's what he sits upon. Mm-hmm. You got to keep the people in those states in order to be able to bring down tyranny. So we got to overcome ignorance. That means, you know, you're learning. You got to be learning the truth from somewhere. Then there's apathy. Okay, once you know the truth, now you've got to be activated to actually do something about it. But many people are in fear, and so they remain apathetic. And the way that I found to overcome that fear is, yeah, I'm not trying to push religion here, but this is what it is. You need to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, because Jesus is the King. He's our ultimate authority.
Yep.
And if you're not submitted to Him, you're going to fall for every con job that Satan's agents, i.e. the New World Order, the Deep State, whatever you want to call them, the bennies that they're going to throw at you, you're going to fall for that stuff. And so it's critically important that you give your life to Jesus Christ, you strive to listen to Him and submit to Him, and that you're really seeking to hear him and follow his direction rather than all of the garbage and the lies that are coming from everywhere.
Wow.
So that's kind of the basics. But then you have, you know, Sheriff Mack is an enforcement arm. He's teaching sheriffs around the country and people that the sheriff is the highest law enforcement official of the land. He can arrest FBI agents. He can arrest IRS agents. He can arrest mayors and health department officials.
Wow.
And so forth.
I didn't know.
So
that.
We need to.
He's got a gun, and he knows how to use it.
That's right.
Yeah,
but we also have a lot of these sheriffs that are brainwashed into being part of the state, and so they need to be educated. So it's a huge step. Number one is education. People need to just wake up and learn the truth.
Yeah, and I as before we take our last caller, just to respond to Stan, we need to flood those polls on
Amen.
November 8th.
Amen.
So
yes.
Get out of the apathy of, I cannot do anything. We are not helpless. We are not victims. So flood the polls and vote, whether you think it's a legal way or not, or whether it's going to make a difference.
Yep.
You've got to go. You
it
saw it in Arizona. It worked in Arizona. And the second is, we cannot complain about Sheriff Hart in our county because he is running unopposed.
Wow.
There's no constitutional sheriff that stood up to him. And so had we put someone conservatively up against him, then we'd have a voice. But right now we've got Sheriff Hart unopposed.
Okay, we have Aline, I think that's how you say it, from Santa Cruz. You're on the air. Can you hear us?
Hi, you guys. Yeah.
What's your name? I might have said it wrong.
Eileen.
Great, Eileen.
Like the one-legged woman.
Yes, Eileen. So what do you got a question?
Yeah. So, well, I had I wanted to ask you guys if you had ever heard, I'm sure you have, of the book called The Naked Communist, written in 1958, talking all about the communist agenda. There was, I think, 50 points.
Oh,
and
yes.
And it's like today's news. And in every way, it's just unbelievable what they've been able to accomplish. And, the agenda, are you familiar with the agenda documentary? Actually, you did a couple.
Yeah,
of,
Curtis Bowers.
Curtis Bowers.
One and
uh-huh.
two. He did a great job with that.
Yeah, he sure did. And I just loved it. I just recently watched them again and met him over in San Jose at the Calvary. He spoke there about a month ago, I guess it was. Yeah. So anyway, he talks about that book in his documentaries, and it just was so eye opening that was taking place in 58, and other things were going on. Of course, even sooner than that, you like in the 40s, you know, we're getting more and more information about a lot of this deep state, you know, behavior.
We've got to wrap this up. We got 1 minute.
Yeah,
we got
1 minute left.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for calling, Eileen.
Okay.
We'll check out the book, The Naked Communist, and the 50 points in the agenda. Victor, we're just glad to have you on here. I think we're going to probably have you back sometime soon again, just to continue this conversation, this dialogue. But, you know, one of the things that this reminds me of is that what's going to restructure this is a massive revival.
Come on.
Where men and women get on their knees and cry out to God to heal our land because we've been taken over to be as slaves. And that we see that in the Bible over and over again. Israel restructured themselves when King Josiah found the law of God and not the law of men. So we are freeing ourselves from the law of men and putting ourselves on the law of God. And that is the good news. Amen?
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Join us next week. Wake the Bear Radio.
Yes.
God bless our listeners.
This has been Wake the Bear Radio on KSCO, 1080 on your AM dial.